This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
What up, gangster?
Oh my god, you're off the chain tonight. What the hell?
Oh.
What's going on with you? Fired out of a cannon.
Not really, man. I'm fucking beat.
What?
Beat.
Well, you better pep it up, Buttercup.
Just beat it. I had to take my wine pouch out of the wine box.
Wine pouch?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get wine in a box, there's a pouch inside it.
Yeah.
But when you get to like a certain level and you try to pour wine out of the box, it doesn't pour.
Gravity's not your friend.
Gravity's not your friend. So you got to open up the box.
Ah,
and pour straight out of the pouch.
I thought I was envisioning a like a saddle pouch.
I do have one of those on a backpack.
Yeah, of course you do.
Maybe I sometimes walk around the house drinking wine that way. I don't know.
You might.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
What the kids don't know don't hurt them.
Exactly. I'm just drinking water. I'm thirsty.
Right.
What have you been up to?
What have I been up to? I don't know. It's been like a lazy weekend.
Really?
Which is sort of nice. Yeah.
Nice.
I was gonna get like Sunday all to myself. My wife was awfully busy. And then she did like the first half of her activities, which were work related, and came home and it was so cold out. Because she had to attend like a community outreach that was outside. And it was so cold out and she was ill-prepared dress-wise that she came home and she's like, I'm going to take a hot bath and relax. And she blew off the rest of her activities.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That sounds all right.
It was. It was fine.
Yeah, that sounds all right.
I felt bad for her because it was... not unseasonably cold, but we've been in a little bit of a hot streak, so we've been spoiled.
Dude, it's freaking hot as hell over here.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. You think it's like flood related?
No, I think it's global warming related.
Oh, okay. I just didn't know if all of a sudden you're getting like a hot, you know, whatever it is, hot burst of wind coming from the south up, that type of thing.
Hot flashes?
You might. Menopause.
It's possible. Wait, hot flashes on your balls? Is that what you said?
Yes. Wow. Tell me more.
It only Martin took Ferretti. 3 minutes. Look at that.
Martin Ferretti, get off this podcast. Don't listen anymore.
I do love some Merlot, though. It's good stuff.
Yeah?
It's not my favorite, but it's good.
Before we get off of wine, yes. I was watching one of my favorite YouTube channels, First We Feast, which has a show called Hot Ones, which is the host Sean goes, and I think I tried to get you on it because Key and Peele had an episode on it, and it was unbelievably funny. But they go through like progressively hotter sauces, like 1 through 10. As the host asks the guest questions. And the host is entertaining. The guests I always find entertaining as well. There's a lot of rappers, which is sort of fun. But this week's guest, speaking of wine, to bring it all the way back, and I know you like this person. I know you're familiar with this person because we talked about him before. Gary Vaynerchuk was on.
Oh, yeah. Old Gary.
Oh, dude, he is just the effing bomb. He is just so good. And what he said, and I'm sure you've known this for decades probably, because I've been turned on to it through him, but he even brought it back, and my wife was watching Hot Ones, and she was like, well, that's good to know, because they're like, we can't let you walk out of here without asking you a wine question. He goes, yeah, shoot. And... Sean asked him, you know, what's the best wine to go after? And he goes, the wine to watch out for that is really cheap right now, but it's way better than most, is from Portugal.
Really?
And he goes, but, and he said something to the effect of like, but my rule still applies. And this is the thing that you might still know, because I even told my wife, I'm like, baby, he's been saying this for 20, 25 years. I'm like, I didn't know about this Portugal thing, but he always says a wine between like $9 and $13. Mm-hmm. He goes, the next price point you should be looking at is 25 to 30.
Yeah.
He goes, anything in between that, he goes, you might as well just find a really good $9 bottle of wine and you'll be set.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife was like, wow, that's crazy, because how many wines are, you know, available for like $18.99, $19.99?
Oh, no kidding.
And you always think those got to be better than, you know, $10.
Nope.
And I'm like, Vanderchuk has been talking decades for how awesome box wine can be, how awesome screw top wine can be.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, don't fall into the tradition of you got to have a cork in it and it's got to be from France or California.
No, as a matter of fact, I think the best wine in the world last year was grown in Great Britain, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, neat.
And it's funny, too, since we're talking about global warming. Of course, like, the UK has always been too cold and humid for growing wine.
Yeah, their season is really, really short.
Yeah, well...
Or it used to be.
But because of global warming... They have, like, almost perfect weather for a lot longer now than they used to. So yeah. There's a lot of really good wines coming out of the UK for that reason.
So crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. So nuts.
Yep.
And just to stay on the wine tip, God, how do we have so many little wine nuggets in our head?
Oh, we have a lot of nuggets.
It is crazy, but I guess there's some wine that, like, is exclusive for Aldi.
Really?
And that stuff sells out in hours. Like, there are groups and message boards that as soon as, like, such and such Pinot Noir is at Aldi, like, it sells out in hours.
Huh. I wonder which one that is.
I guess it's, like, $3.99 a bottle. Like, it's really, really cheap.
I was going to say, because there's a lot of companies that have, like their own brand of wine. Or like a really cheap, generic sounding brand that's like shared across multiple different companies. Like, what is it? Trader Joe's, the Trader Joe's wine. I can't remember what it is, but it's rebranded of some other wine that sells for like $15 a bottle. But a Trader Joe's is like $2.99.
Yeah, it's the same exact wine.
Yeah, it's the same exact wine. That's why I always tell people, dude, when I get made fun of on Twitter, like, I roll with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'll drink my box wine because you know what? It's $10 for 3 bottles worth. And I guarantee you it's pretty much the same as something that you would consider a really good wine.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy.
You just got to let it breathe, Nick. You get a decanter. My wife had gotten me this thing. It's like a little funnel that you put on top of a glass.
Mm-hmm.
And so it like decants it as you pour it in.
It worked, oh, so it worked, it's like, right. So wait, that you're pouring in or while you're pouring it out, it decants it?
Yeah, while you're pouring it into the glass, it decants it.
Okay, that's what I was, I didn't know if you meant pouring it into the bottle or into the glass.
No. Yeah, it's like a little metal X and inside is a cup and the cup has a funnel in it that like spins the wine.
So it aerates
it. And it aerates it as it drips down the bottom.
That's fun.
Yeah.
I love little gadgets like this, dude.
Yeah, it works pretty good, dude. I'll tell you the ultimate trick. You take a freaking, oh, God, what's that machine called? Like the fucking, it used to bake. What's it called? You know what I'm talking about.
No.
It goes, and you're like, a mixer. There you go.
Okay.
Like,
and you mean like an emulsion blender?
Yeah, that'll work too.
Okay.
You just put on, like, one of the little paddles instead of the both of them.
Are you talking a Cuisinart?
Well, that's a brand. It's just like a little handheld mixer.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
You just put one of the little paddle things instead of both of them, and you just put it in your wine and just paddle it for, like, 15 seconds, And it's like the equivalent of decanting for like a week or something.
Sounds like you need to go on to Shark Tank.
No, dude, I saw that. Matter of fact, I saw that on Vaynerchuk when Vaynerchuk had the video podcast.
Yes.
Like years and years ago, he did that on
there. I miss that. Dude, I miss that show.
What was that called? Wine something.
I don't remember. I just told my wife, I'm like, he would drink one bottle a week and he would just break it down and it was never a bottle that was over like $20.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. And now he's a venture capitalist. What the
Well, heck? Sure. Well, and it's not like he never had money. I mean, his parents got money. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. But still, he's very... It is like life lessons and lessons in business that like any common... Like, you don't need to be first in your business class to understand.
Mm-hmm.
He makes everything very accessible.
He does.
And just to segue over to something else that I want to talk to you about. Oh, and by the way, welcome to the Comfy Couches of Nerdy Legion. The other person that does that breaks it down and makes a and I think it's really tough to do, if you really think about it, to take a complicated situation or problem and break it down for a common person. Who has no clue about a certain, you know, complicated issue. And another – Vaynerchuk is awesome, still awesome at it. Another person that you – we talked about on Friday, another person that could do that was Kevin Rose.
Oh, buddy.
Like, he never – like, he assumed certain things that you would know certain bits and bobs. But you don't have to – You don't have to build your own computer for him to explain how to build your own computer and it for it to totally make sense.
What was his nickname when he was on the Screensavers? It was like the something hacker, the dark hacker maybe or something like that. I don't remember.
That sounds right. Yeah. That sounds right. Because it was something like related to like dark web.
Yeah. Dude, and talk about like crazy shit, right? Because he started off. I think he started off being like he was a writer on that show, like a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like as an intern or something. And then,
that sounds right.
And then he went on to host, and then he was the main host when G4 bought the network.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there he left and started Dig with like $500. I think that's what he paid the original designer. It was like $500 and like a percentage of Dig.
And I at that point, wouldn't you take the percentage?
Oh, for sure, right?
Knowing how good he is, it's like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do it pretty much for free, but just give me a percentage because I believe in you.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, I think most people like the guy and say, like, oh, like he's done so well for himself. He's had so many successes, but like he did some pretty shitty stuff too.
Sure.
I'm trying to think, like, he did that social... Oink. You remember Oink?
Yep.
It was like a social network, kind of like Twitter-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But not as good. And I think he sold that right before he went to Google, which that's when he made, I would say, a lot of his money. Like, he had already made money from selling Dig. But he had started that, like, small indie development company. And they were going to do, like, 2 or 3 iOS apps a year, and that's it. Like, that's, and they were all going to be free. And then Google bought the company and dissolved it because they just bought it pretty much for Kevin.
Sure.
And they hired all the engineers. I think it was like 4 or 5 people. They hired all those people. And then they made Kevin like one of the lead investors at Google Ventures.
Yep.
And then like now Kevin doesn't give a fuck. Like, he's got a podcast that he just does whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah, he catches himself under the guise of venture capitalist.
Yes.
Which is pretty much, you can bring me into your business, show me your business plan, explain it to me, and I'll let you know if it's going to work or not.
Right, like, all right.
Yeah, he's living the life.
And he does, he still runs a company. It's called Hoidinki, I think it is. And all it is like an app and a website for like watch aficionados, which apparently like that's a thing. You know what I mean? Like people collect watches.
Yeah. That's a big thing.
So even if it's like a really, really niche market, he makes money off of it because those people want to spend money to know about watches.
Yep.
Which, who would have fucking thunk it? You know what I mean?
You just have to be the one of the first. That's all.
Who would have thunk it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, speaking of the podcast, so I sent you the link to the podcast. Did you listen to it?
I sure did.
It was pretty awesome, wasn't it?
It was. Well, explain what you sent to me.
All right, I'll explain. So Kevin Rose has a podcast. It's called The Kevin Rose Show, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And every week he interviews, like, somebody. Like an entrepreneur or, like, somebody that does body hacking or whatever the hell. And on the last episode, he had Alex Albrecht, which if you've been listening to this show for a while, we've talked about Alex many a time because he and Kevin used to do the Dig Nation podcast. Which, in many ways, Nick, this podcast is very much influenced by Dig Nation.
Mm-hmm.
Except we don't really do news. Like, sometimes we'll do news, but we don't really do news. We just fucking bullshit. But what they did was they talked about the top tech news stories from Dig.com. Rest in peace. Even though it's still around, like, it's not the same. And it's like what Reddit is now is what Dig used to be.
For sure.
So anyways, they just sat on the comfy couch and drank beer and whatever else and got drunk talking about bullshit tech news. And it was freaking awesome. It was a video show and a podcast. I used to watch it on video all the time on the old on the old Rev 3, Revision 3.
That's the only way I ever watched. I ever consumed it was video.
Yep. Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, you have to watch it on video. Even though, like, it was nothing, right? It's just two dudes on a couch.
Yep.
So anyways, yeah, so Dig Nation ran for forever, and now Alex does the half-hour happy hour on Nerdist with Allison Hayslip, who used to work with them on G4.
She's the best.
She's so hot.
And, you know, she did the, like, interview. She was the interview person for, I think it was one or two seasons of The Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let her go. And I every time I see her doing something like that, I'm always like, that's good. Like, that's just good people getting, like, I just like seeing them succeed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She just always seemed really cool and down to earth and, like, fun and funny.
Yep. Yep, I agree. Have you heard that show yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So this past week was the first time I heard it because Alex was on Kevin's show. And I was like, oh, what the hell's Alex been up to? So I looked it up, and then they were talking about the half-hour happy hour. And I was like, oh, my God, that sounds awesome. So I listened to it, and it is hilarious.
It's very much like Dig.
It's very much, yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Except the problem is, like, he's doing a, what is it, 30 or 60-day detox?
Yeah,
so how the hell is he doing his show? Yeah, the hell is he doing happy hour?
Yeah.
But if you want to listen, if you just want to skip around that show, make sure you check out their Christmas episodes because those go extra long and they get extra drunk and they're really, really funny. There's one that I heard, this wasn't a Christmas show, it was probably in January, where I guess there was a pop-up restaurant in LA that was Star Wars themed. So you paid a lot of money to go to this pop-up restaurant. There were like two seatings a night, only on weekends. And it was supposed to be one of the like hardest tickets to get a hold of, like hottest tickets to find. And both of them went separately. And I guess it just seemed like a big S show. Just completely don't believe the hype. It was garbage. But to hear both of their experiences doing that was hilarious. Just like the only thing that was good was you heard the Cantina theme, but you heard it 300 times that night because that was the only thing they would play.
Well, I got to tell you, Nick, so I listened to this last episode and they have a great sponsor.
Ooh.
I don't know if you knew this. But
no, I haven't listened to them in months.
They have a great sponsor who's also sponsoring this episode. Ooh. Head on over to IHateTampons.com for all your feminine product needs.
I hate tampons.com.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I was like, what? What am I listening to?
That sounds weird.
Because the show started with the ad spot for IHateTampons.com/NerdLegion. And I was like, "Am I? Is this the right show?"
Hilarious.
But yeah. Yeah, good stuff. I enjoy the show, though. It was fun. It was good.
I even liked the show with his wife. Well, now wife, then girlfriend, Heather.
Heather? Oh, Control-Alt-Chicken.
Yes, I even had a shirt as I even took a picture of it to show you.
Control-Alt-Chicken was the best.
It was. And it was so far ahead of its time.
Oh,
like
sure.
Like two people, I don't know if anyone even pays attention to us and goes searching out this stuff. But Control-Alt, and I'll explain it for the listener. I know you already know it. Mm-hmm. But Control-Alt-Chicken is a cooking show done in their kitchen. Like two cameras, two static cameras, and it's a couple who don't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll tackle something like chicken cordon bleu.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have a recipe and try to do the recipe, but yet they don't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, they try it just like any other cooking show. But buddy, that was, what, 20 years ago?
Oh,
15
yeah.
years ago?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I would, like, that was so far ahead of its time. I would watch that type of show now. As long as you got two people that were very entertaining. And Alex and Heather are very entertaining. And it didn't last long. It was like 8 episodes or something.
Yeah.
But it was really fun and funny to watch, like, their mishaps. And it sort of took the mystery away from food for me, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this was around the time period whenever you put on Food Network. I don't even think Cooking Channel was readily available. It might have been available in some markets. It wasn't in Chicago all that much. But like Food Network had famous chefs pretty much just showing this is how you cook a meal.
Mm.
But they weren't breaking it down. They weren't personalities at this point. And it was very dry. It wasn't personality or competitively driven, which brings out the humor and the, you know, the fun. And Control-Alt-Chicken was a lot of jokes. They would do a funny little, like, historical, not skit, but, like, a breakdown historically of, like, how chicken cordon bleu came to be. And it wasn't really about making the perfect chicken cordon bleu. It was trying to figure out how they can make something that sort of resembles it. Yeah. And for me, that's what I needed. Like, I don't know how to make chicken cordon bleu. I go to the grocery store and I buy them frozen and throw them in the microwave or the oven. Like, I would never, ever think to do that. So that's why that show, like, even to today, it's like they were pretty ahead of the the foodie craze.
Yeah, you're right. And I think a lot of like BuzzFeed does a lot of those videos now.
But they don't
do like a two people thing, but they do sometimes have like a group of people that kind of do the like a taste testing kind of thing. But not so much the cooking. So it's like Control-Alt-Chicken minus the cooking part. It's like the before the cooking and after the cooking.
See, I've seen it on like AV Club. They'll do it, but the people that do it, and I mean, my apologies if the AV Club listens to Nerdy Legion, but the people that do it aren't personalities. There's nothing fun or funny to see.
Mm-hmm.
So unless I'm interested in making chicken cordon bleu, I'm never going to watch them because they're way too dry.
Yep. But if they want a sponsor, they can go to IHateTampons.com/NerdyLegion.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
But good call on the bringing it back. Good call on the Kevin Rose podcast. Oh, that was so good.
Yeah, it was fun. And they said they're going to do it maybe like every like 5 or 6 episodes.
Yeah, did you read any of the comments?
No, I didn't.
It was all like reunited. It feels so good. They got their back. You guys should do this every week. And I'm sure both of them are like, guys, we're not going to do this every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just get over that. But it was very special. Like, if they did it once a year, I'd be so in. And I would happily, if they even, and I hate to say this because I would actually back it up, but if they actually went to Patreon or Kickstarter and like, hey, we want to do Dig Nation every year, but how much would you pay to see that every year? I think I would pay some money.
Did they do that for that reunion, or was that just tickets they sold?
That was the, you sent it to me, and I've never ever seen a video of that. Mm. So I wonder if they just did it for a live audience.
I think I saw the video.
Because that was during Comic-Con, right?
Maybe. But it wasn't at Comic-Con, though.
Right. It was on an off-site
thing. Yeah. No, I remember it happened because Leo Laporte showed up, and he was crowd surfing.
Oh, nice.
With, like, a giant camera on himself. Yeah. I don't think Leo would do that now, but...
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Old Laporte.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, it's... Back in the day, man.
Bringing it back, Nick.
That was some crazy heady times, dude.
That was good stuff, man. Totally Rad Show. That was the jam.
Yeah, that's still such a stellar show.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I could only imagine if they actually had crowdfunding available, how much money that show could have made on top of getting sponsors and stuff like
that. I was thinking about that. So, I mean, there's no way that Alex does only that Nerdist half-hour show. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I mean, I don't know. Heather seems to be, like, really busy with her music stuff. But she's not big time. And they live in L.A., so there's no way they're living off of, like, her playing music at bars and him doing a half-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've got to be doing something else. What the hell is he doing?
Maybe he's doing some acting and directing and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. He did do, he's got a short. Is it an Overwatch? Overwatch short.
Ah,
but okay. Still, it's a short. I don't know, man. I don't know. And then my boy Kanata, I listen to all his podcasts. He's the best.
I do like me some Kanata. I just want more video from Kanata.
He was my least favorite on Totally Rad Show.
Really?
Yeah, but I love the hell out of him now. He's my favorite now.
He was my spirit animal during that. He was Mr. Positive. Are you kidding me?
He's always been Mr. Positive, yeah.
I know. That's why I love him.
Yeah. Kanata's the best.
Yeah. Oh. I did like his one video show. What was it? Better Best?
Oh, Newest Latest Best?
Yeah, Newest Latest Best.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of stopped doing that. So it must not be... It must not have been getting as many downloads as he was hoping.
He brought up... He still does Newest Latest Best. He does it on Anchor.
It's rare that he does it.
No. He does it, like, every day. It's a daily show now.
Really?
Yeah, but it's on Anchor, so it's like a 3-minute podcast.
Oh, dang it. Yeah. Okay.
Which Anchor's interesting. I thought about doing some stuff on there. But I don't... 3 minute... Like, who listens to 3-minute podcasts? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it used to be on his YouTube channel. That's the only way I got it.
Yeah. No, he does it on Anchor. Anchor's cool, but like I said, 3-minute podcast, no thanks.
Three minutes could either be horrible rambling or you have to be so buttoned up for those 3 minutes that you're spending 3 hours to get ready for 3 minutes.
So the problem becomes... that, like, if you have more to say, your 3-minute episode becomes multiple episodes.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You really have to be able to edit yourself.
But, like, Anchor does a really good job at stitching it all where it sounds like one episode. Mm. But I don't know. Like, I can't get myself to just download an app to listen to this one podcast. You know what I mean? Because, like, I don't listen to anything else on there.
And I don't see you. Let me give it a try. Let me put down the 85 podcasts that I have queued up every week and try like all these random ones. No.
Right.
Don't see that.
Well, happening. And the thing is, I can't download any of them. So I'd be streaming it from the app. You know what I mean? Like, I'm
saying the 85 podcasts that you do.
Right. Well, I mean, I already download those, and it's not 85; it's 73, I think. I'll have to look.
73. But I'm just saying, instead of listening to one of those from that week, you're going to open up an app and like, oh, let me try like 15 different.
Right. Yeah. Podcasts. Like, let me just play random shit for all day. Nah. Yeah. You're right. I wouldn't do that.
I like to have like 2 hours of like Daryl's voice or Mike's voice in my ear. Kevin Rose, you know, I don't want like 3 minutes and then it's like, ooh, who's this person? Whoa, who's this person?
Right.
That would be shocking when I'm at work.
Yep. You're right. I need more podcasts, Nick.
You have plenty.
Yeah, but even though I have that many, like they don't all release regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I think
out
of those, maybe half of them release regularly.
Yeah, some of them are, like, bi-weekly.
Bi-weekly or just, like, whenever the fuck. Like, I subscribe to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Uh-huh.
Which is
that takes a while.
It's amazing. But the thing is, like, every episode is, like, 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
And it takes them, like, months to put them out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like, when they come out, they're awesome because you learn a shit ton of stuff.
But it's like Christmas, but holy Christ, it's like
Christmas. No, it's literally like Christmas because it comes out once a year.
But it'd be like Christmas if you didn't know what day that was going to fall on. Like, you get so excited, but yet you didn't know it was coming. It just appeared in your feed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do that.
You have a few like that.
No, I know. And then I have some that, like, I almost want to unsubscribe, but I can't.
Why?
All right, so I'm going to give you two. So one is called Spooked. Sure. One is called Spooked.
Okay.
It's a pretty new podcast. I think they started, like, a month or two ago. And I think they're part of some radio station in New York.
Okay.
But I like the podcast, but I hate the host.
Who's the host?
I don't know his name. But the podcast is about, like, it's like paranormal stories, like ghost stories or whatever the hell.
Sure.
Supposedly based on real life.
Okay.
And I don't care if they are based on real life or not, but like the stories are well told.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll like interview the people or whatever kind of and make it part of the narrative. But there's something about the host that just really annoys me.
Are they on it a lot?
Yeah, like talking? No.
Yeah, or are they just introducing, like, this week we're going to be talking about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, introduction, then, like, he introduces each story in the episode, and then there's the outro, of course. But there's something about him that just annoys me, and I don't know what it is. I think he tries too hard to make it sound like NPR-y, you know what I mean?
Oh.
And it annoys me.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme music annoys me. But I love the podcast, so I still listen. And then the other one is Star Talk, which is really weird, because I love Star Talk, and I'll probably never unsubscribe from Star Talk. But the thing about Star Talk is they have the other show called Playing with Science, where it's have you listened to Star Talk?
I don't believe so.
All right, that's Neil deGrasse Tyson, and then he's got a comedian, usually Chuck Nice, and then usually some kind of guest.
Okay.
Or they'll have, like, the Star Trek All-Stars, which will be, like, Bill Nye, or, like, some other scientist or astronaut or something, like, hosting the show. Anyways, so they have, like, a side podcast, which is Playing with Science, which is a sports podcast, but it's kind of, like, about sports science. Right?
Mm.
So, like, what the science would be behind the Immaculate Reception or whatever. Okay? Things like that.
Okay.
And it's Chuck Nice and some soccer guy that used to play soccer and now he's an announcer. And the thing is, like, once a month, they'll throw in one of the Playing with Science episodes into the Star Talk feed. And, like, if I want to listen to this other podcast, like, I'll go fucking listen to it. You know what I mean? Like, don't throw that shit in this feed because people subscribe to this feed. That's just kind of that's annoying.
That's just a horrible way to bump up numbers.
Yeah. It annoys me. It annoys me. So I wish they would quit doing that. And I think part of the problem may be that I subscribe to the old feed because I've been a subscriber for years. And I think now they've changed it. So I don't know if like they're still putting in that in the new feed that they have. I just don't want to unsubscribe from the old feed and get to the new feed. You know what I mean?
Maybe that would solve the problem.
I mean, maybe. But I don't want to push buttons. I just want to fucking listen to your podcast, bro.
You want to be the early adopter?
I mean, I guess.
To the feed.
I guess. I think
I've had a couple podcasts that are like that, that just, for whatever reason, it's the person's voice. And believe me, I have a horrible voice. So I get it. But there's a point where listening to that person for an hour a week, it's like, no, I can't do it. Even if the content's good.
Nick, you have the voice of an angel.
Okay. Oh, holy mackerel.
You know what? Not only is your body a wonderland, your voice. Your voice is a wonderland.
Oh, boy.
This or that. No, we're not playing that today. Just kidding. Oh, man. Hey, Nick, did you watch the New Mutants trailer?
I did.
What'd you think?
It's very captivating.
Interesting. Interesting thoughts you got there.
You know that isn't for me. But it's interesting that they're making a Marvel horror film. That's sort of what it looked like.
It was weird.
And I like the Stranger Things dudes in it, and I like the mask reveal, and there was certainly a lot of David Cronenberg imagery, which was interesting. I don't even know if you can really pick out, like, oh, that person is magic, or that person is, you know. There are characters where I could sort of try to figure that out, but I appreciate that they didn't make, other than, like, having the big Marvel Comics logo splash up there, it was definitely a different direction, and I gotta applaud 20th Century Fox for trying to, not everything has to be like spandexy.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it, man. I knew that New Mutants was gonna be different, because even the comic is technically still different. Like, yeah, it's an X-Men book, but
not really.
But it's different, right? And that's why I don't like the New Generation X, for example. Because the New Generation
X, '80s, like New Mutants was different even in the '80s.
Well, yeah,
with Dark Child, and like some of the storylines are real dark and fun and interesting and just not your typical mutant fare.
But it was never a horror story.
No, it wasn't.
You know, it still had the little hints of X-Men in there.
Yeah, but they did go to, you know, they went to limbo, went to hell.
Oh, sure.
But it easily could have been a horror comic.
I guess.
But that's what I liked about it.
Yeah. I do like that they went this really offbeat way. And I wonder, though, how much of that looks better on the trailer. So, remember, like, I don't know when this is coming out, but I think we're
recording. It's May, I think?
I mean this episode.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
But I think a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about The Gifted, and I was telling you about that one scene with the kid and in the gym and in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, like, the exact scene from Legion and blah, blah, blah. And watching the New Mutants trailer, I'm gonna say something, and anybody listening, don't be like, "What the fuck, Martin?" Just fucking listen, goddammit. No, I'm going to get to that in a second. But I don't. I watched it and I love the trailer. I think the movie's going to be great if they stick to whatever the trailer is. But there's like some scenes in there where I almost had the same feeling. You know, like I wonder how much of what we're seeing is actually something that's happening, or is it one of the mutants that we're seeing a lot of the stuff in their head?
Oh, that would stink if it isn't done like in an asylum. That would stink.
I mean, it could be in an asylum, but Legion was that way too. Oh, spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't watched Legion.
I haven't watched Legion, no.
But they do a lot of that kind of thing. I mean, the series kind of starts off in an asylum, sort of. Spoilers. And I hope it doesn't go that way. And now, I don't think Fox would do that three times, though. You know what I mean? Like, with Legion and Gifted and now New Mutants. But I do have high hopes. I mean, it looks great. And apparently they want to do a trilogy, so that's cool. Like, I hope the first one works out.
There's a big difference between small screen and big screen. So I would hope that they're going to put money and time and effort behind something from the big screen.
Unless it's Inhumans.
Oh.
You know what? This show's fine. I just watched episode 4. It's fine. It's fun. It's not good, but it's fun.
Well, that's good. Everybody likes fun.
Yeah. It's like me and Legends, dude. I love me some Legends. The show's not good, but I love the shit out of it. It's the most fun I have all week. It just started. They had ArubaCon. It was amazing. It was a convention in Aruba. But there's all this like weird time shit happening because the Legends kind of destroyed the timeline at the end of the last season. So there's like T-Rexes running around in L.A. and whatever. And they have to capture Julius Caesar, who's hanging out in Aruba.
Oh, then that's right in your wheelhouse.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. You know what? Yeah. Fuck you, Daryl Taylor. You're wrong.
Wow.
God, Daryl Taylor's such a hater.
A lot of cursing this episode. What the heck?
Is it? Are we counting? How many is that? Do I need to put an explicit tag on here?
No, I've stopped counting. Just on a roll.
Oh, so we need the E.
Listen. Yes, absolutely.
E for everyone.
I wouldn't say everyone.
Okay. But anyways, New Mutants looks awesome. I can't wait.
All right, slow your roll, Ferretti.
Yes.
Let me shine a little light here.
Shine a light on me. It's the midnight special. Continue.
I went last night. The wife went to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, all right, let's fire up some Gifted.
Ooh.
So off to the Hulus I go.
Yes.
There's episode 1. Mm-hmm. First I put the Gifted into my stuff queue. Which is lame you have to do that, but oh well.
So far so good. Continue.
Fire up episode 1.
Oh god, yeah, wait. Pause. I know when this app first came out, I said I love the interface. This interface is garbage.
Mm-hmm. Thank
All right, continue.
You for coming to my side. I appreciate it.
Continue.
Finally, Nick is right.
Yes.
The cops were chasing the one girl. She's trying to open up the power, and the police car goes through the portal.
You mean the second greatest mutant ever created in the history of mutant kind? Blink. Continue.
I don't know because they didn't give her a name, so I couldn't even tell you who that was.
Okay.
So the car goes through her portal,
mm-hmm.
and then runs into another police car?
Mm-hmm.
Which that sort of confused me, but oh well. Okay. And then I saw Thunderbird, and the only reason I know that is because he had a tattoo of a Native American hawk on his arm or wherever. And I'm guessing that the other guy was Sunspot.
All right,
I'm
so hoping. Correction. I thought it was Sunspot.
Okay.
Apparently it's not Sunspot.
Dang it. Okay.
His name is Eclipse.
Eh. So I got up to that point, and then I realized, I think my wife might want to watch this show.
Ooh.
So I stopped it.
Uh-huh.
Didn't watch anymore. And I'm like, I'm going to talk to her tomorrow. And sure enough, I talked to her today, and I sort of explained what it was. And she goes, well, I love The Flash, so yeah, I'm in. Count me in. So I'm like, all right, perfect. So we got another show in the queue. So that was a fast forward. Let's go back to Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Once I stop it and think I'm gonna watch this with my wife, I'm like, well, at least I have Legion Season 1.
Mm-hmm.
So let me go into the Hulus and pull up Legion Season 1. And those mother effers, those damn Hulu bitches. It was all there before. Guess what's not there anymore?
Shut up. Are you serious?
Nothing. Nothing is there.
What?
I searched for Legion and this movie called Legionnaires from Spain showed up. And I was livid, dude.
Are you serious?
Like, how long was that entire season available? 3 months? Give me a break.
Dude, no way.
I know.
What was that on FX?
Yes.
Mm.
And I could still watch season 2 of Fargo. Like, that's still on.
Mm.
Or I could watch, and maybe it's an FX thing, I'm not sure. But, like, you can watch, like, the entire series of, like, Key and Peele.
Mm-hmm.
I think it must be, like, they have such and such, like, we hold on to these shows for this long for, you know, ABC. And then this long for NBC. And this long for FX. I don't know. But I was, like, I thought I searched for it wrong. But I'm, like, no, I didn't do that. I'm, like, they just removed it.
Dude, those freaking TV and movie deals are always so freaking whack, dude.
Yeah, because it was so disappointing.
You never know. Does Hulu do like Netflix does, where they'll be like, "Hey, coming next month is the shows, and these are going away." Is that a thing?
Well, Netflix doesn't even do that. You have to go to a third party to find that out.
Yeah, that's true.
No, don't. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that's true.
Netflix doesn't want you to know what's leaving your queue. Hmm. It just disappears. But no, to answer your question, I have not found a third party that's like, this is coming into Hulu, this is leaving Hulu. I found a third party who does that for Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But still, if you miss that tweet, good luck. Like, that month, you're screwed.
Mm.
But boy, I was pissed because I was really wanting to watch Legion. So now I will have to go on to Amazon to find out when that season 1 is available to buy on DVD. Not buy it on DVD, but go to my library and get that DVD set. Which is not the best way to watch it, because then you're forced into watching an entire season in 1 week or 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, and dude, I was all set. I was like, I mean, we're talking like when my wife went up to bed, it was like 7:15.
Hmm.
I had an entire Saturday night just to like, let's watch this. Let's get half of it done. Oh, I was so jazzed too, and I knew you'd be like, heck yeah, let's talk about it.
Dude, I want to talk about Legion Gifted all the time. I love that show.
To be honest with you, it all started when I saw the New Mutant trailer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what set me down to, I want to watch Gifted now. Okay, I better hold off on that. I want to watch Legion now. And then that just took a shit on my chest.
Mm.
So now I'm like, okay, now I guess I have to wait for all this other stuff, like all these other dominoes to line themselves up. I was really disappointed. And this, like, dude, this has nothing to do with cutting cord, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This has everything to do with, like you said, like all these streaming services having certain contract lengths with different channels.
Well, and so here's the thing, too. I bet they're about to release a DVD, because I can't find the release date for it. But season two of Legion starts in February, which leads me to believe that the DVD will probably be out before Christmas.
Possible.
And that way people can get it and watch it before season two comes out. And I guarantee you that they'll put the season one streaming somewhere like Netflix.
Without a doubt.
Halfway through season two.
But usually what happens is with DVDs, they'll either push it up because they want that Christmas window, which is smart, mm-hmm. or they release, which usually happens, they'll release the DVD of the previous season 1 week before
premiere. Yeah.
So I think they must have just pulled up. My guess, now that you said February, my guess is they probably have it written into a contract somewhere that 6 months or 4 months before the new season, you'll take the content down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they have something like that.
Here's the thing, Nick. I'm on Amazon right now. Why would I buy season one DVD for $39.99 or season one Blu-ray for $49.99 where I can buy season one in HD on Amazon Video for $19.99?
But don't you want to own that sweet stuff?
For $19.99.
But don't you want to own it?
I own
the physical copy of it?
I own it. It's $19.99.
Yeah, but not the physical copy of it.
I mean, am I going to just carry a DVD player around when I want to watch Legion?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? I'm going to carry a DVD to work?
Yeah, of course you will.
Watch it at work? I'm going to carry a DVD in the car?
Mm-hmm. So the kids can watch it.
So the kids can watch it.
During the long car rides, you know, they of course they're like, "Dad, I gotta watch 20 minutes of Legion."
Of course, not like they're watching YouTube 24/7. You know what I mean?
Right. So, I mean, it bears out that they would want to stop that YouTube so they can watch Legion in the car.
Of course.
Yeah, it only makes sense.
I mean, that's what normal kids do. Get with the program.
One thing that I have to say about streaming, the only thing I wish they would do is, and I would even pay a little bit extra money for it, I would love to have the commentary track or the extras. That's the one thing I miss with streaming.
Does Amazon do that? Because I know on iTunes you can do that if you buy through iTunes.
I don't know, Amazon. We've only bought iTunes.
I'm trying to think if I've purchased any full seasons on Amazon, and I don't think I have. I'll have to go through my videos. I didn't even know where that is because I never use it. Oh, here it is. Your video library. Do I have any full seasons? Doctor Who, Dollhouse. Nope, no full seasons. Just Doctor Who, because I can't get that otherwise.
You know what I watched over the weekend?
What's that?
Non-stream, too. I actually had the Blu-ray copy of. Not that I bought it. I borrowed it. but Wonder Woman.
Ooh!
And there were some good extras on that. Some really good extras. As well as a scene that wasn't in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, I don't know if you know, I think it's called Edda's First Mission, where she's in charge of, like, the team after the end of Wonder Woman. Spoiler, Steve Trevor dies.
What?
And she takes over the team.
Captain America dies?
No.
I know. Don't
try to confuse me.
It's Jack's terrible joke.
Oh, yeah. That's my wife. My wife actually said that.
Did she?
Yeah. I'm like, that's Rogers.
Continue.
But her. So did you ever see that? That scene?
I don't think so.
because I think it's only available on DVD, Blu-ray. But there is a reveal of a mother box.
Ooh, in it. Really?
Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, that's it. Like, and I even told, I mean, I didn't explain mother box to my wife, but I'm like, that's why DC should be putting those type of scenes after the credits instead of having nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if you're following Marvel? Like, that scene was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I was pissed, and I even wrote on social channels. I'm like, why didn't anyone tell me, hey, you need to watch the extras? Because there's a scene. Like, that was, that's so tied into JLA coming, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, shit, maybe I'll have to get it from the library then.
Definitely. You should, I mean, it's only like a minute and a half scene, so. It's nothing big, but would I say buy the movie for that? No. Good God, no.
Right, yeah.
But my wife liked the movie quite a bit. That's which was really good to hear. Except she did say there was way too much violence in it.
Really?
And I'm like, yeah, there was a lot of action in it. And she goes, it just, it did, it wasn't like fun.
Hmm.
Fun like action. It was like, you know, there was a violent component to it. And I'm like, well, it is World War One. People died.
Yeah. God, that's a good movie.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, Justice League's coming out. That's going to be good, too. When's are they doing pre-sale on the tickets?
Not that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be all
right. she did like the humor, and she said about like superhero films in general, she's like, they need to have more of a romantic component. And I'm like, yeah, didn't it work? I'm like, it totally worked. And she goes, yeah, for sure.
Mm.
Like, it just let the movies breathe a little bit instead of just action, action, action.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. So that was good to hear, because I didn't know how she was going to take that.
No, that's good. I was hoping I was hoping we'd get to talk about Blade Runner, because nobody has seen it from my friends. And one of my friends, we'll just call him Wick Netmore.
Who's that guy?
I don't know, some guy. He said he was going to go see it with Wam Techmore. And that never happened. So now I've seen this, in my opinion, best movie of the year, and I can't talk about it with anybody. Shame on you,
Wick
Netmore, whoever you are.
I heard he has a sultry voice. Fingers crossed, I would like to go this week.
Okay.
Because every time I see a trailer or a scene from it, I'm always like, dang it, I have to see that on the big screen.
Yeah.
That guy can do no wrong, that director.
Who's the director?
Didn't he direct
Arrival? Was it Wes Anderson? Yeah.
Or no, not... Sorry. What? Not Ridley Scott.
No, it's not Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott's doing the Alien movies, the Prometheus and all that. Isn't it? I thought it was Wes Anderson that did.
Wes Anderson,
isn't it?
The Royal Tenenbaums, dude.
Yeah.
No, you're wrong.
Oh no, I found
it. You're drunk. You're drunk.
No. Hang on.
It's a French dude.
I'm pulling it up right now.
It's a French dude.
Well, are you saying Wes Anderson can't be French?
Well, he wants to be French, obviously.
Denis Villeneuve. Yep, there you go. You're right.
There's so much Truffaut in Wes Anderson. It makes me sick.
Denis Villeneuve did Arrival, which was my favorite movie of last year. Oh, my God. And now Blade Runner is my favorite movie of this year.
And Sicario, dude.
And Sicario, which I haven't seen yet.
Don't sleep on Sicario. I know. It's awesome.
It's been on my queue for forever.
Now, well, queue it up. Why don't you spend money and rent that thing? You rent all this garbage.
It's on Netflix.
Oh my God. Oh, you're killing me.
It's on Netflix. But I'm going to watch it, okay? Because Arrival was my favorite movie of last year. Blade Runner is my favorite movie of this year. So, same director. I'll go ahead and see what Sicario is about.
Okay, good.
Okay, I promise.
And he's also his next upcoming his next upcoming project, or one of them.
Dune. Yep.
He is, like, encapsulating my childhood.
Yep, I agree. Mm-mm-mm. Dune, oh my god. I hope he does Dune so well, dude. I like the original Dune movie.
But it's fun.
It is way too long. And listen, I get it because the books are very long and they're somewhat faithful to the books, and there's no way they could have made it any shorter, I don't think, with that script. But if somebody can come along and make a Dune flick in like 2.5 hours and be good, that's going to be a fucking amazing movie. Best movie of 2018. Is that when it's coming out?
Oh, I highly doubt it. I would say the original Dune is way too Lynchian for its own good.
It is very Lynchian.
Yeah. And I'm shooting to see Blade Runner. My fingers are crossed Thursday. So.
Okay.
Just to let you know.
Okay.
What about, are you any interest in seeing, it just came out this Friday, that Professor Marsden
and the Wonder Woman? You are reading my mind, buddy.
Okay.
That's the next one I want to go see. I know Mike's been talking about it, because he's a big Wonder Woman fan. But, it looked, when I first heard about it, I was like, what the fuck is this, and why is it something about Wonder Woman? And then I realized what it was, and I was like, oh, I need to see that. And I forgot all about it. And I haven't even seen the trailer.
Mm.
But I read that book. Oh, God, what's it called now? I can't remember now. But I'm assuming that this is somewhat based on that book.
Okay.
Because it's a story of Marsden and how he created Wonder Woman. And all the S&M stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing this. And it's weird because I generally very much dislike nonfiction and extremely hate biopic stuff. But I really want to see this.
Yeah, I think it looks very interesting, and I like that it's tackling even taboo issues of today.
Yeah.
Much less like the 40s and 30s.
Sure. Well, and like, I don't even care if they like stick to whatever happened in real life either. Like, it's a movie, right? So I'm sure they're going to take some liberties with the story.
Yeah, but I'm sure.
But I just want to see it. I want to see it. That's one of those things where, like, you read about it, and like, dude, nobody talks about all this shit. God, what the fuck's the name of that book now? I gotta find it. Nobody talks about that stuff. You know, to see it in a movie, I mean, I guess kind of it makes sense because of how big Wonder Woman was. So maybe they're banking a little bit on the success of that, rubbing off on people wanting to see this true story. Probably not. But maybe that's what they're banking on.
I wish it was a documentary, but I'll take a biopic.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man. You couldn't sell a documentary on this, I don't think. Oh, is this it? Secret History of Wonder Woman. Of course. That makes perfect sense. Secret History of Wonder Woman by Jill Lepore is the book that I'm talking about. It's a good read. You should read it. Is it on Audible? I think it is. Get that. Audible.com/NerdLegion.
I think it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it'll be good.
And why haven't you gone seen it yet?
I did go see it. I just haven't talked about it.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Yeah, we went.
Not IMDb. Rotten Tomatoes still has it at like an 85. Like,
wow, really?
It must be pretty good for some audiences or critics.
That's pretty high, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I
mean, just to put it in perspective, Blade Runner is at an 88.
Well, that score's wrong. I think what they meant to say was 98. We went to see it opening weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that was because, obviously, I would guess that Heather was a big proponent of, we got to see that.
Of course, yeah. My wife is Stephen King fan number one.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, she was watching, there's a Netflix movie that just came out that's based on a Stephen King book. What's it called? Gerard's Game, I think it is.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Which has, I almost said Emmanuel Pacino, but that's the comic book artist. Carla Gugino.
I like her.
Yeah, me too, especially in Sin City.
I would say she's a fine wine. She's getting better with age.
I agree with you, buddy. I gotta agree with you. I was thinking about that today. My wife.
I didn't know she was in that. Dang it.
Yeah. My wife is still watching Sons of Anarchy, of course.
I might have to watch that, dude. And what? I don't like these type of shows.
What, Sin City?
No, Gerard's Game.
Oh.
Or Gerald's Game, whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
Gerard's Game. It's a movie.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like stuff like this.
I don't either.
But now I might have to watch it.
But, yeah, she and I watched the trailer for that. It can't be Gerard's Way. That's the guy from My Chemical Romance. What the fuck's...
No, it's Gerald's Game.
Oh, Gerald's Game. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We went to see It opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually somewhat excited because the trailer looked good. Even though, as you know very well, I think Stephen King is hot garbage.
Sometimes you can be wrong.
It's okay. This time I'm not. And I did watch the It miniseries when I was very young, and it forever scarred me for not liking clowns.
Yeah, Tim Curry's pretty good.
He is. And when I got a little bit older, I rewatched it, and I thought it was the dumbest thing ever. But that clown was still creepy. So anyway, I wanted to see it. And you know what? I'm really glad I saw it. It was really, really fucking good.
Really?
So, yeah, if you're okay with getting a little scared, you will love it. Nick, I know you don't like to be scared, so you will hate it.
Don't like it. No, absolutely not. Nope.
But I think I even jumped like in one or two scenes, which very rarely happens with this kind of flick. But with that said, I did have an issue with the movie.
Oh, brother.
And I'm going to tell you my issue. It's not a bad thing either.
Okay.
It felt like I was watching Stranger Things, the movie.
Hmm.
Which, it's not a bad thing at all. I think Stranger Things season one was freaking awesome. Season two's coming out in like a week or two. I can't wait. Because the trailer for that came out and it looks amazing. But,
yeah, the final trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks so good. But, it was like watching Stranger Things, the movie. And, of course, it doesn't help that one of the kids from Stranger Things is in this movie, playing the same exact character. but the thing is, like, it's the same core group. There's the one girl that they kind of rescue, and then there's the one monster with, like, the alternate dimension alien-ish type thing going on. And of course, all the adults are horrible people, and that's how it was in It as well. So, yeah,
that sounds like Stephen King.
Yep, but I gotta say, so I've never read It, the book.
Shame on you.
So I have no idea, but I will say that this is far above and beyond, way better than the It miniseries.
Oh, that's good to know. How did Heather like it?
She loved it. Everybody liked it.
Okay, yeah, good. Because I figured she'd be a good critic for the Stephen King property.
And if you're one of those people who are like, whatever, like, I've seen the miniseries and I've read the book, whatever.
No,
like,
come on.
There's things in here that are very different, but pay homage to that original. So even if you're one of those people, you will thoroughly enjoy this and find it well worth it.
The only thing that I would think would stink compared to the miniseries is you don't have 4 hours that the miniseries had. But
well,
I could also see the editing paring down those 4 hours into a tight 2 hours would probably benefit it.
Well, you're incorrect, Nick.
Mm.
Because this movie ends while the kids are still kids. Whereas the miniseries had the part about when they're adults.
Yeah.
And there is an It Part 2 coming out summer 2019.
Oh, Jesus H.
Which will be when they're adults.
Oh, brother. Brother.
So I know you're not going to see it, but that is coming.
No.
That is coming. But
can I circle back to Gerald's Way?
It's your show.
Or sorry, Gerald's Game. Now you're making me say Gerard.
Gerard Way.
Gerald's Game. Is it interesting and like? Can I see it? Even though I did see the Kathy Bates Stephen King thing, which mm-hmm. I guess it's sort of based around.
Are you talking about? Oh God. Wait, was this already made into a movie?
No. But I guess Stephen King wanted to go back and, like, play around with the same, like, person handcuffed to a bed type of...
Oh, the Kathy Bates one. What's that called? I do like that one. That's the only one I like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where the author gets into a car wreck and she ties him up to the bed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Misery.
James Caan.
Misery.
Misery. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, I like that one.
Is it sort of like that, or is it more horror-y?
Well, so I didn't watch it. She watched it. I watched the trailer.
Oh, okay.
And what I understood from the trailer is it's a married couple, and they start doing some, like, kinky stuff, and she gets tied up mm-hmm. in the bed. She gets tied up in the bed. And then he has, like, a heart attack or something.
Ooh.
And dies, like, by the bed. But she can't get out. She's freaking handcuffed to the bed.
Oh, jeez.
And I don't know. There's, like, other stuff going on. It looked like maybe hallucinations.
Wow.
So I don't quite know, like, what the whole story is. It's not something that I don't think I would watch. But I could see why my wife would watch it.
Gotcha. I did just look up the director,
mm-hmm.
Mike Flanagan, and he was also the editor and writer of Oculus and Hush.
Oh, yeah, I like Hush, too. Yeah, those are both good.
I know you like Hush.
I loved Hush. My wife loved Hush, too. Hush That's was, why I was freaking like, awesome.
Like, I could... Because I think you're similar to me, where it's like, something like that might actually be like, well, I don't really want to watch Gerald's Game, but I really liked Hush. So, you know, like all of a sudden something that was so not or just off your radar. Now it's like, maybe I do want to watch it.
Yeah, but it's a little different. Like when we're talking about Villeneuve earlier, like, of course I'm going to watch Arrival. Of course I'm going to watch Blade Runner. Like I'm a sci-fi nerd.
Yeah.
But Sicario, like even if it's the same director, it's not something that I, like, automatically go to, you know?
Oh, shame on you. Because Sicario was so good.
I mean, Sicario looks good. I've heard a lot of great things. But it reminds me of, like, I don't know if you watch Narcos on Netflix.
Not yet, but I want to.
It kind of reminds me of that. I mean, Narcos is great. But it's not like one of those things where, like, oh, let me just put this at the top of my queue. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's like, you know, it's on my queue, I'll watch it when I get to it.
Yeah, see, I'm such a sucker for Josh Brolin and Benicio Del Toro, and to have them both in the same movie, it's like, yep. Mm. Check and check.
Well, see, I'm an Emily Blunt fan, but that's not enough for me to go and see this.
Okay.
Unless she's naked, which I don't think she is. Yeah. Oh God, there was one thing I wanted to talk about and I can't remember now. It was on this movie conversation we're just doing. Oh yeah. I don't know if they have a trailer yet or not, but I know they had a panel, I think at New York Comic Con. Did you watch or read? Oh fuck! God damn it!
What's, wow, linger. Yeah. You're the lingo, dude.
Look, it's not lingo. You know, they say people that use a lot of profanity are extremely bright.
Is that what they say?
That's what they say. Well, you know, okay. Here's the thing, Nick.
Such the wordsmith.
Listen, profanity is my like. You know how people will stop and say, like.
Yes.
All right, I just say fuck.
Or, what's the other one? I know, like a lot of people say that.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know.
You know. Yeah. So,
I gotta say, which I have some tics like that too. Like, I don't want to call them out because then you'll be hyper focused on them. Like I am. So, I'm trying to stop doing that.
Oh, brother.
But go on, Bill Shakespeare. What were you gonna say? What movie were you gonna talk about? Old wordsmith Ferretti over there.
What's the Andy Weir book that they made into a movie with? Now I can't remember the actor's name. Matt Damon, where he goes to Mars, The Martian.
The Martian, yes.
Of course, that's the name of the damn movie.
Yes,
The Martian. Which I don't know if you've seen it. Have you seen it?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was quite good. It was not as good as the book, but it was good.
I've heard that.
He's got a new book coming out. I think in a couple of weeks, and.
It's already optioned for a movie.
Well, it's not only optioned, it's already filming.
Oh, my gosh.
Rosario Dawson's in it. Ooh. It's called... what's his name?
Amen.
Freaking the guy from Guardians of the Galaxy, the wrestler.
David Batista?
Batista's in it.
You mean the wrestler from Blade Runner 2049?
Dude, Batista is one of the best things about that movie.
Hey, he's one of the best things about Guardians of the Galaxy too.
Wait till you see Batista in Blade Runner. I was like, holy shit, this dude can fucking act.
Even that one little scene, because he's only in like a quick like second, where he sort of turns towards the camera,
mm-hmm.
It didn't look like David Batista. I'm like, right? Dang, what the hell did he do?
Mm-hmm.
He's like Peter Parker. He's like Clark Kent. You throw in a pair of glasses on him, and it's like, is that a whole different guy? What the hell's going on here? No, I'm looking forward to it.
I think the book is called Artemis. The movie's going to be called Hotel Artemis. Jodie Foster's in it. Batista, Rosario Dawson.
Wow.
Who else? It's like a bunch of people, dude. Jeff Goldblum is in it.
Of course, Goldie.
Zachary Quinto, the guy from Heroes, the bad guy from season one. He played Spock in Star Trek.
Yes, I know Zachary movies. Quinto.
Okay.
He was in Heroes.
Yeah, just making sure. Anyway, a bunch of people. I don't know when that's coming out, but that's already filming. The book's not even out yet.
And sheesh.
I can't wait. It's about a hotel on the moon. And that's all I know.
Wow, that sounds good.
It's going to be great!
Who's directing it, do you know?
Oh, I have no idea. Let me see if I can find out.
Hmm.
Artemis director. I gotta go to my DuckDuckGo machine.
Oh.
I need to put a...
Oh,
go ahead.
I see Artemis novel. It looks like Phil Lord is directing it and Christopher Miller.
Drew Pierce is what I see.
Oh, okay.
Also written by Drew Pierce.
I hope Drew Pierce is doing it because Phil Lord is doing some movies that sound awfully weird for an Andy Weir novel.
Really?
So.
I'm surprised you would say that because Drew Pierce wrote Iron Man 3, which most people universally hate.
It wasn't the best.
I mean, I didn't mind it, but... he did Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, which I just watched again for the third time, and it's really fun.
That is.
He is also writing the Runaways TV show.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Interesting. Very interesting. What else you got for me, Nick?
Nothing. That's about it.
Wrap up time, eh?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty well done with all my little topics that I had to bring up to you.
We didn't talk bathroom etiquette, but that's okay.
I know.
That needs to be an episode unto itself.
Yeah, that'll be a good evergreen.
It'll be a good one. I have one parting gift for you.
Ooh.
So apparently Marvel 2-in-1 is relaunching.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the story in issue 1 has something about the relaunch of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, isn't it supposed to be Thing and Johnny?
Thing and Johnny, and the backup is Doom. A secret that he's kept since Secret Wars.
Oh my gosh! Okay. Who's the creative team on it?
I have no idea.
But dang!
I saw the synopsis and I was like, "This sounds awesome. Count me in."
That sounds really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, my poll of what I should read next. If I would have paid attention, this goes back to Secret Wars too.
Mm-hmm.
If I would have paid attention and actually like opened up my books in Comixology, there would be no hesitation of what I was going to read next. It would be Supreme Squadron.
Yes, that's the one I voted for.
Yes, it would be that because it's Robinson and Leonard Kirk. Ay caramba, that's gonna be good.
What's he doing now? He's got a new series coming out, or just came out. Oh god damn it! Because he was doing Nick Fury, the Nick Fury Jr.
Yeah.
Apparently it was a mini. I didn't know that. I thought it was an ongoing. But you know, there's that.
That's a shame.
So that's done. But he's got something new coming out, and I can't find it. God damn it. Is it Spider-Man? No, it can't be that. What is the new thing he's doing? Anyways, whatever. Yeah, Squadron Supreme, he did that. I forgot about that.
Hmm. Dang it. I would love to hear what he has next going on.
I'll have to find it, and when I find it, I will send you the link.
I'm sure it's something for the main two.
Yeah.
I mean, he does some indie work, but he's out for that paycheck. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you gotta eat, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I can't blame him. I have no... Hey, he picks up and does, like, Scarlet Witch or, you know, Squadron Supreme. I'm all about it. Yeah, he usually has something interesting to say. I might not have liked his Fantastic Four run, but, you know, that's here nor there. You win some, you lose some.
Damn it, what is he doing? No, I can't find it.
Hmm.
Oh, what? Oh, no, this is old. All right, whatever, it doesn't matter. I will find it, and I will send it to you. I think next episode we need to record our Two Weenies Talk Halloweeny, no?
Yeah, sounds great.
It's about that time.
For sure.
You have been listening to the one, the only, the incomparable, the amazing, the grab-ass award-winning podcast of 2017, the Nerdy Legion Podcast. You can find Nick at Nick Wetmore. I'm at Geekvine. And together... we are amazing. That's the end of the show. Have a great night.